When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
They came from another planet to destroy the Earth. Giant spiders.
Boils and ghouls, lock your doors and strap yourselves in. From Los Angeles, California, Bloody Disgusting presents the Boo Crew Podcast. Horror news, commentary, reviews, interviews, and more. With your hosts, Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio.
Hello again, my name is Trevor, and on behalf of myself, Lauren and Leo, welcome back to your Boo Crew Podcast, episode 418. At time of release, this is part of a Creature Double Feature. Just prior to this one, we talked to filmmaker Larry Fessenden about his new flick Blackout, while we moved from werewolves to giant spiders, and Kia Roach Turner's wonderful Sting in theaters now. We take you to the Landmark Theater live in Westwood out here in LA, where Bloody Disgusting held an advanced screening. If you were there, thank you so much for coming out to support this incredibly fun flick, and thank you for putting up with myself and Lauren. Well, we took the stage immediately after the screening to speak with one of its stars, actor Jermaine Fowler. We talked to Jermaine about his career, working on countless award-winning projects from Family Guy to co-starring with Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, and his passion for the horror genre. He peels back the curtain to let us in on some of the amazing practical effects work Weta did on the film, hilarious stories from the set, how Sigourney Weaver helped out in a key scene, and so much more. Go see Sting. If you like your horror with a dose of Amblin, a ton of heart, and some really fun kills, this is it. Episode 418 with Jermaine Fowler, and Sting is now slaying.
Go ahead, scream. That's all we need.
Another victim crawls onto the gurney for a Boo Crew autopsy.
We've got someone in the midst here from this very movie. He went from five-time award-winning College Humor to the game-changing Eric Andre Show and his very own comedy special, Give Him Hell Kid, in 2015. His voice talents have been featured on Robot Chicken, the nine-time Emmy-winning Family Guy. He starred in CBS's two-time Emmy-nominated sitcom, Superior Donuts, even hosted the Emmys himself. Most recently, he played opposite Eddie Murphy in Coming to America 2, the horror comedy The Blackening, and Hulu's thriller miniseries, A Murder at the End of the World, nominated for a prestigious BAFTA award. You just saw him on screen as Frank the Exterminator in Sting. Please say hello to Jermaine Fowler, everybody. Hey, man. Incredible work, my friend. That looked like a blast, dude.
I know we had a BAFTA. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, BAFTA? Right?
Yo, what's up, y'all? Thank y'all for coming out. Appreciate it a lot. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
So I wanted to know, are you a horror fan? And what was your first experience watching a horror movie? And how did it make you feel?
Dude, so my first horror movie I watched was probably Leprechaun. Yo, yeah. It was Leprechaun. Yo, that was the first one. And then that was funny, though. That didn't freak me out. What fucked me up was Friday the 13th. And I think it was the one when they went to New York. I think so. But I'm from Maryland, so like I grew up around the woods, and Camp Crystal Lake, was similar to. It fucked me up, man. So like I couldn't watch horror movies for a long time. So probably from like 11 till something like that to like 24 is when I got back into horror movies.
Yeah.
So I started watching like Adam Wingard and Adam Green movies. Like I like Hatchet was one of them.
Yeah. Man.
Yo, Hatchet was fire. I love all three of them. Is it four of them now?
What's that?
I think Victor Crowley is another one.
Yeah,
I watched.
Victor Crowley.
That's the fourth one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went like backwards. So like, I started watching the recent ones. I love Your Next. It's like one of my favorite home invasion joints. I didn't start becoming a horror movie buff till I was 24 and I moved to Brooklyn and I was on my own. And I was like, I ain't got to be afraid no more. And I started watching them again. And now I'm an addict.
Oh, that's so amazing. Great, man. You do so good in it, too.
Thanks, dude.
So you've been into stand-up comedy. This is how you kind of got into the game since you were like 17 years old, you were doing stand-up, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah. One of my, so I started with my homies back there. It's one of the Lucas brothers right there, man. He wrote Judas and the Black Messiah. So he's awesome. Like one of my like favorite comics ever. So it's not, yeah, we started in New York together.
Yeah, and, no, that's awesome. Give it up, man. That's so cool.
Yeah,
so
we
cool.
were in Brooklyn together, baby. So yeah, that's the homie. But I started when I was 17, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, DMV area for like a year and a half. I started out of high school because I knew I wasn't going to go to college. That wasn't going to work out. And I was like, I'll do stand up. And it kind of worked. It worked out for a little bit. Moved to New York for 8 years and came out to LA.
Nice. And what was the transition? What was the first transition between doing stand up comedy and getting into the acting world?
Yo, I got into acting because of stand up. That's why I wanted to be a stand up in the first place. I was just chasing Richard Pryor and Eddie and Martin, Mike Epps, like all my favorites. So I wanted to be an actor. I used to like mimic Simpsons characters when I was in school. And who else? I just loved TV and film. I knew what time it was of the day by watching TV shows and stuff. So that's I was a TV baby. I just watched it all the time. So I wanted to be on a show or a movie, but Nick Cage was like the person that made me want to be an actor. I watched like Face Off and The Rock, Con Air all the time when it on VHS. So that was the actor that made me want to really be an actor. But then there weren't a lot of avenues in Maryland to, you know, learn how to act, because the only show we had was The Wire, and that was filmed in Baltimore. That was like 45 minutes away. So I was too young to be on The Wire. Like I was still in school. I couldn't really do that. You know, and my acting teacher, Mr. Gentry, he was a drama teacher in our school. My drama teacher was Mr. Spencer, but we had two of them. So mine was Spencer. He was like, he taught the more nerdy, kind of like a lot of the outcasts in the school. And Mr. Gentry, he taught a lot of the other kids in the school. He was an extra or a background guy on The Wire. And at that time, that was the biggest credit you can have in our neighborhood. So we thought he was like a movie star. He was a crackhead, like in the show. But to us, he was like, he was a celebrity, yo. So that was a big deal. And I just knew I didn't know how to be an actor from there. So I was like, I'll just do the stand up. And I fell in love with stand up. And it's something I never, like, I love it, man. I just I'm happy I started in that way. It helped in a lot of ways with the acting and the stage work. So
for
all
sure,
that stuff.
For sure. Well, that said, a lot of the best horror movies have a real strong aspect of comedy, right? The Evil Dead films and the Peter Jackson movies, you know, from Weta. Shout out Weta again.
Yo.
What do you think the relationship is between the two? Is there something similar about the execution of the two?
Well, I always say when you do a horror movie, right, you're doing like four genres, right? You're doing suspense, thriller, romance, comedy. You fill all those things in a horror movie. And you earn all those things, especially the laugh. What's a funny horror movie? Evil Dead 1 and 2. The third one's great. 2 is like my favorite. But Sam Raimi, the camera work, and all of it is just, it's just perfect. It's the perfect movie. And I feel like horror movies just do a great job of executing all these sort of feelings that you get when you watch them. Evil Dead's a great example. I remember what's a great one? Rosemary's Baby. Like that's a thriller. But like it, of course it's a horror movie, but like it moves like a thriller. The pacing is perfect. Exorcist. That movie is it's monumental. It's monumental. It does so many things, just tremendously. So, I think when you have I watched Arachnophobia.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Before I got this gig, I was like, Arachnophobia, I gotta watch that real quick. And I haven't watched Arachnophobia since I was probably in sixth grade or something like that. And I watched John Goodman's character, like just kind of like, all right, cool, John Goodman. And then I went around my neighborhood and got some advice from pest control guys. about
role.
Yeah, so I was just researching a lot, and I just went around Orkin and a couple local pest control places. My backyard has a mosquito infestation, so we have an Orkin guy who goes back there, so I'm just staring at him like while he sprays things down. I'm like, yeah, and he's like, he's weird. And I'm like, I'm studying for a role. He's like, no, you're not. And so, yeah.
Did you watch any other Spider movies?
There's only Eight-Legged Freaks. Infestation's coming out soon, too, I think. That's the, that's not Brazilian, is it? That's French. That's the French joint. It's a Spider movie called Infestation or Infest or something coming out soon. I like that one a lot. But it's not a lot of Spider movies, are there?
Yeah.
It's just Eight-Legged Freaks and Arachnophobia.
Big-ass spiders?
Big-ass
any
spider.
Big-ass Spider movies y'all heard of? See? Just two. Yeah. Empire of the Spiders? William Shatner? Are you Australian? I hear your accent. Okay, cool. Yeah. Kingdom of the Spiders?
Kingdom of the Spiders.
Okay. That's, I'm going to write that down. I have a whole list of movies. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Did Kia send you on a scavenger hunt of investigation for this role at all?
Nah, it was me.
It was just you?
Yeah, it was just me. I knew the role was going to be humorous, but I also wanted to be grounded, too. Yeah. So I was like, let me go do some research. But we shot this in Australia. And it was actually when I got to my hotel, I lifted my toilet seat up, and you know what was in the toilet seat?
Oh gosh!
Yes, it was a fucking spider. Yeah, just drinking water. I'm like, sorry, excuse me, and I just closed the lid. Yeah, man. But no, that's just something I like to do. Is just over research.
Yeah. Well, take us back. Take us back to just how you got involved, how you found out about the project.
My manager. I have the best manager, man. Her name is Priya. She basically, I told her I wanted to use my likeness to get crazy shit made and just be a part of crazy shit. And I don't want to be boxed in.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to do things I've always wanted to do. This is something I've always wanted. I love creature features. Lake Placid and what else? Critters, like all those, like, in this movie, like, it pays homage to all those films.
It's a real love letter.
Alien, it's like this movie's got Alien in it, Gremlins. It's got Ryan, what was the other movie you said? Yes, just yes. There was a movie Ryan said, this is like, what was it? It was another critter sort of, I forgot the name of it. But no, he does a great job of just paying homage to, huh? Predator. Yeah, a lot of Predator in this too. There's a Predator line in the movie as well. He threw to me when we were filming. But I'm just checking off things on my bucket list as far as types of films I want to be in. And I'm happy I got to be a part of this joint. And I got to shoot it in Australia. I've never been there. This is the first time I was in Australia, in Sydney, so it was wonderful. This ain't question time, man. Wait for the question.
Go ahead. No, it's all good. What was the question again?
I'm sorry, what was it? was the spider real?
Was the snow real?
I was like, I guess. The snow was not real. So, you see, there are inserts of snowy, like, New York-y streets and stuff that I believe were things they got on location or something like that from a B team or something. But as far as the snow falling on my face, that was paper. Got in my eyes. That's where I wore sunglasses in some of the scenes, because my eyes are full of paper and like my beard and stuff, and it looked gorgeous, man. The special effects team killed it. They murdered it. Weta and our crew, like, they made such a beautiful, cozy, creepy film. You know what I mean? Like, it felt claustrophobic, and we shot that on a soundstage in Sydney, and it just, everyone had a great time. It was like everyone was on a playground just having a great time. Just, thank you, brother. I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Did you have to audition for the role?
No.
Nice.
I did not. Oh, thanks, y'all. No. Nah, I didn't. Thank you. No, I didn't have the audition. But I would. These sort of roles, I've always I've had fun. Like, just kind of, I don't know. When I do auditions, I fuck around too much. Like, sorry to bother you. That was my first movie I've ever done, and that audition, I didn't think I would get it. So I just fucked around in the audition. It was self tape, and my partner helped me. Do the tape. She was pregnant, so like the baby was on her bladder, so she had to use the restroom, so her line reading was terrible, and my line reading was just so blasé. I was like, I ain't gonna get it, it don't matter. And I got the role. I was like, okay, all right, I think auditions work. I didn't know auditions worked at that time, because, you know, as an actor, you're like, they ain't watching this shit, you know what I mean? But over time, like, I just started to kind of make the audition process mine, because I just figured producers and directors, they watch tapes all day, make it memorable, you know? So this one, if I did audition for it, it would have been insane.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Did you get,
cool.
Did you get to play around a lot? I mean, you've done a movie a few years ago. You did The Drop. That was almost a completely improvised movie, right? You got an outline, and you got to kind of play with getting to the plot points, right?
Yeah.
Did you get to do that in this at all, or was it all...
No joke, Kia... the director of Stink, he just let me go crazy. There were so many lines I didn't even make the final cut. And again, he knows what he wants, and he made sure every improvised line was it made sense. You just can't improvise. You got to make sure it services the scene and the movie. And I do love improvising, but also want to make sure it connects to the film and the character. I do know when we did Ricky Stanicki, there were moments where, like, I was very in the blackening, like, it's a bunch of comics, a lot of great actors in it. It's very easy for you to lose yourself in the improv, you know, and kind of just try to one up each other. And, you know, at that point, you've lost the scene, the point of the scene. So Tim Story and Peter Farrelly, like, they made sure we stayed the course. And Kia was the same way. The line when I told her, "Is that your spider, Sting? You should have got a dog." That was improvised. But there were so many lines, like, he would just let me go. There was one line I was like, "That Sting, your spider? It's not trained well." Like, it was something like that. Like, all this crazy shit. I was just, you know, just, they let me go loose. And it was, it worked.
And then on set, what elements were you reacting to? Like, what parts were actually there, practical, as far as the creature goes, and puppets, or digital?
Yeah, so the smaller the spider was, that was more digital. When I saw the jar, that was me just acting to nothing. But there was, when it got bigger, that was all practical. I got to meet the spider.
That's so cool.
Like, it was another actor on set, and I shook its leg or pincer or whatever. and that was nice. But most of the time I was acting to a digital spider, because I didn't meet, it wasn't until I died is when I met the big puppet or the animatronic spider. But I'm happy. I don't know, the times when I'm like, you know, you act against a tennis ball or something like that, and it just, of course, you do your job, but I'd rather practical effects. In fact, I miss practical effects so much. There's a movie called The Void. Have you seen The Void?
Yeah, man.
Yo, Void is fire. That movie, man, that gave me so much hope as far as practical, because that movie's all practical. It was gorgeous, man. I love that movie. Mandy. I love Mandy. Like, that. Yeah, that movie too. So I was lucky to do a practical movie.
Did they play the sounds of the spider moving when you were acting?
No.
Oh, man.
We had to act it.
That's good.
We had to act. I wish, because I saw the final product. The sound design is, it is good. My favorite part of the film, as far as the sound goes, I think, is when the spider mimicked the baby crying. Yeah, that creeped me out a little bit. You remember? That was freaky. And then there are moments when it just kind of like it's kind of doing more intergalactic kind of alien noises and stuff. I guess it's maturing and it's learning its limits, or its powers, or whatever you want to call it. And that, when I saw the final product, I was like, wow. Because I first saw the movie on my laptop, and that's not the same. It's a watermark and it's not fully finished. And I see it on here. And yesterday I saw it on IMAX for another screening, and it sounds so beautiful. It just sounds great.
The Boo Crew will be right back.
They came from another planet to destroy the Earth. Giant spiders 30 feet tall, clawing, crushing, killing everything in their paths. Never before was anything like them seen on Earth. The government and the military were in shock. Could anyone stop them? Could anyone stop the giant spider invasion?
Was there a stunt person for you, or were you the one being yanked all around?
I spent the whole movie with a torn rotator cuff, because I doing jiu-jitsu training and stuff during, you know, the pandemic. I tore my shoulder up and stuff, so I flew out to to Australia to do the movie, and that metal like pack I had to carry around, the gas tank or the spray tank, it bothered me the entire shoot. I didn't complain one time, but they just made sure I was okay. The medic came by, gave me some icy hot stuff like that, and some Advil, and that was cool. But I like doing stunts. I love stunts. When I was a kid, I would like mimic Jackie Chan scenes from Who Am I and all that shit. And I used to love doing and pro wrestling, all that stuff. I love that shit. So when I see a stuntman on set, I get kind of like, how much you going to do? And he like, all of it. And I'm like, can I do some of it? And he's like, we don't want you to get hurt. And I'm like, I ain't going to get hurt. And but Kia, it was an indie movie, so like they can't risk that. So they let the stunt guy do his thing. And as an actor, I get mad because I'm like, I know what's a stunt and what's me.
Yeah.
You know, and I want it all to be me because, you know, it's just more fun that way, right? I love Tom Cruise because he just does everything. And you can see it in his face now. His face is finally caught up to his stunts. He looks his age now thanks to all the G-Force and all that shit from Top Gun. I'm sorry.
Oh. But... Goodness.
But no, I enjoy it so much, but I appreciate the stunts dudes for keeping us safe.
Lila was extraordinary in this, the girl who played Charlotte, and you had a great scene with her. What was she like to act opposite a kid with that much talent? She was really...
You know that kid from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Uh-huh.
That Leo DiCaprio was acting? That was her. That's her. Like, you know, she's dedicated. She is a professional. She is a badass. Like that, she was on it. She it was. There were moments I tried to make her laugh. I hope I did, but it didn't look like I did. and I was improv and all that stuff. But no, she's in that scene, man. It's hard to like, you know, it's hard to break her. So I was trying to make her break. I wasn't successful, I don't think. But she is so dope in the film. I think my favorite scene. I think that family. When all the emotional shit at the fan.
Yeah, man.
When dude said, my dad's in Thailand. Nah, he's down the street.
Oh, the whole theater was like, what the hell, man?
The whole theater was like, what the God damn, this changed. It was heavy, man. I think those moments are important, man. You just kind of root for the characters. You know, you just want the family to win. You know, beat the giant spider. But she was a force. Truly, I'm not just saying that. She really was, and really, really good at what she does.
Yeah, I was hearing stories that she was on speakerphone literally with Sigourney Weaver. Somehow what? She's connected to Sigourney Weaver. So the scenes where the spider was like right beside her, she was on speaker with Sigourney asking for tips on how to do that. And Kai and everybody were kind of, or Kia and everybody were watching her going, oh my gosh, it's Sigourney Weaver on the speed
dial. That's how I would react, man. Nah, that's crazy. There was a moment when the spider is getting, before her spider, that's an alien homage, right? So I wish I was like a fly on the wall for that conversation, because Sigourney, I just recently watched all the Alien movies. I watch them like, you know, once every 4 months, just watching Alien. I love Alien, man. So that's wonderful, man. Even her cameo in Cabin in the Woods is just like, yeah, you know what I mean? So yeah, Sigourney is that's dope. She's so lucky.
Did you get to keep anything from the production? Any costumes or your nail gun?
I kept, they gave me some, they didn't give me any of the props or anything like that, but I got some, just a nice Sting commemorative, like, crew t-shirt. I got some sunburn from Australia. I think that spider followed me home. Like, I don't know. Damn, no, not too much. I always wait till where actually the movie comes out for me to ask for like the prop stuff. And is Wellgo here? Wellgo, where you at? Hi. Are the props still available? Can I have the nail gun? No. Yeah.
Nail gun's a good one.
I feel like I should. It's mine. Thank you.
Was the nail gun your idea, or was that?
No, that's Kia. Kia, that's Evil Dead. That was like I think that was his Evil Dead homage. Even the Sam Raimi like quick cuts with the water gun. That's all Evil Dead too, you know. So I Kia's so smart, man. He just knows the movies he wants to make.
Dude, he packed so much stuff in there. I mean, even that whole opening sequence and that camera kind of going through the dollhouse, and I mean, it looked extraordinary. Was any of that stuff? Did you know that was part of the vision,
nope.
Or was that just until you finally saw it?
So you know, like. There are so when you watch Mad Max, there are these stories where Charlize and I think Tom Hardy were having a tough time communicating with George Miller. And because the way he communicates about what he wants, you know, it just, I guess it confused him. I'm not too sure. But the final product, you see it and they're like, wow, that's what you were trying to. Okay. All right. Cool. Right. So with this film, Kia was extremely conversational about what he envisioned for how he wanted to edit it, because he's it's all in his head. You know, he knows what he wants to see. He knows the final product all up here. And he's so good at communicating what I might see in the final product. And it helps the acting out a lot. So that was extremely helpful. But as far as the dollhouse goes, no, that was like the second time I saw that. And every bit of the dollhouse, it basically foreshadowed what you saw in the film. So the moment in the dollhouse in the beginning of the opening credits, when the spider little Sting is like over the baby crib, that was amazing. So yeah, Kia's a G, man.
People have been comparing, and I mean, you know, after watching it, it harkens back to those great Amblin films of the 80s and early 90s. What do you think it is that about this that encapsulates that wonder and whimsy?
Well, I think movies, the great ones, they can, the ones I love, they help me relive a part of my childhood, you know, and connect to a childhood. And I think that's why Amblin is so special, because most of the protagonists in Amblin films are kids.
Yeah.
And they are fighting against an evil force, or you know, and when you're a kid, like when I was a kid, I played Final Fantasy VII all the time. Yeah, and I used to want to be that. I used to want a group of like friends who were like, just, you know, run around the city and just like, you know, fight the power or all that shit. And so when I watch like Amblin films, I get that same energy, that same like desire to, you know, discover an alien and, you know, send it home from the FBI or whatever the fuck, you know, like you want that. And I think that's why Stranger Things is like, those first two seasons are so great. And I think recently, what did I watch recently that was so good? Was there something y'all watched recently that made you like, that connected to your childhood, that made you feel like you watched E.T. all over again? Yeah, what is it? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We'll go back to you. Yes, ma'am. But no, huh?
Yeah, this one really.
Word. No, I don't know. I just think most movies, the good ones do that pretty well.
Yeah.
Amblin, I think Steven does a phenomenal job with that. Peter Jackson too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think also that overwhelming sense of heart, right? That big old beating heart, which that again that relationship between the father and Charlotte, Ethan and Charlotte in this really did that beautifully, right? It had everybody invested in those characters.
I hope so, man. I felt that way. I really did. As far as from the illustrations and that connection from the father and kid, and I thoroughly connected to that. That was wonderful.
Do you know if Charlotte was named after Charlotte's Web?
I'm sure she was. Yeah. That's not a coincidence. That can't be a fucking coincidence. That's got to be deliberate. I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Kia would tell you it probably was. He knew exactly what he wanted to make, and I think every character had I think everyone's name probably connected to some sort of spider lore in some sort of way.
What about, you got to tell us about Gunther and Helga, the two of my favorite characters.
Yeah. So Helga, when I learned on set, was the actor that played Helga is a legendary actor in Australia that was like famous for a children's program. And so, you know, I'm from America, and I didn't really know that. And so I go on set, and I'm talking to Helga, and everyone's like, wow. And I'm like, what? And he goes, you're talking to, you know, and I'm like, what? And they explained it, and I was like, whoa, wow. Because I was a kid, Lamb Chop, and like, what was the other, like, Zaboomafu? Like, watch Zaboomafu. Gullah Gullah Island. Those are my, like, you know, shows and stuff. And I guess they're Gullah Gullah Island she was a part of. And, it was she was very welcoming and sweet. She's so charming in this film. There's a moment in the movie when she's like, you should meet my daughter, and I was like, ooh, and I just really felt that. She was really good. And the actor that played Gunther, She is not like that in real life. She was an actor. She's very sweet. She killed it. The Addams Family line was an improv line I think we did in ADR or something like that. So I don't think she even knows that. She's like, he said that shit? She's great. Everyone was so like, I believe they there's like this level of theater that they brought to the roles that were that was so like it just took it to a different level.
Yeah,
they were just so good, and I couldn't help but like kind of I was all their lines made me laugh because they were so in it, and it was so dedicated to the characters. Like it made it that much funnier to me. I think the hey Gunther, is there a broomstick you need to go ride or something like that? That was the first time I saw that. I was like, oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, that's right. And you can tell it hurt her feelings a little bit. She's like, this bitch. It was good.
So has there been any murmurings about a sequel?
Oh my God, I'm sure. You saw the eggs?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you saw the eggs. I think that was an homage to Critter too, by the way. Or even the way the egg was designed looked like what's the
Xenomorph eggs?
No, not the Xenomorph. What's the movie with the singing Shop of Horrors? It looked like the Shop of Horrors.
Plant, yeah. Plant. Seymour.
Yeah. I hope there's a sequel. I was joking with Kia on set about me coming back with just a bunch of staples and bandages on my face. Like on some Frankenstein shit. Like, he didn't get me. But I don't know. It depends on... It depends, man. It always does. So I would love to. That'd be fun. But either way, I'm just happy you guys came out to support it.
Hell yeah, everybody. Is there any? I think we have time for one or two more audience questions. Anybody got anything? Right there.
No. Like when you go into a soundstage, everything is just kind of jumbled around as far as like placements of. You ever been to a? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a Kia question. Maybe that's probably a Kia and a Lila question as far as how she maneuvered in the vents and all that stuff. I do not know. That's a great question. That'd be awesome if there was some sort of map, but I don't think so. For me, it was different. I was like a supporting character, so I was there for probably a month or so. For everyone else, I'm sure it was... No, mine was probably less than that. But I think for everyone else, it was three weeks to probably a month and a half or something. I'm not too sure though. But I think I was there for less than everybody else. Yeah.
Question over there.
Does it have to be horror? Now, I would love to do like a Babadook sort of thing, like a psychological horror. That'd be nice. I love Babadook, and When Evil Lurks, that's my favorite movie of last year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you seen that shit?
Good.
Oh yeah, man.
So that's good.
Yo. Yeah. Late Night with the Devil. Like,
oh man, it was so good. Yeah. Everybody see that yet?
Yeah, that was so freaking good, fun, man.
David Desmalchin.
Talk to Me.
Yeah, I like Talk to Me.
Talk to Me is bad.
I like Talk to Me. I like that there was no context to the hand. Yeah, that was nice. Go Australian.
Well, this movie's a real part of us being spoiled with horror this year, man.
No joke, so I think horror's on a fucking run right now, yeah. So please support that shit. Like, I miss theatrical horrors. Like, you know, sharing that with an audience like y'all, like, is so special to me. It just, I don't know, it just brings back so much... The reason why I love theaters in the first place, you know, I think it's great to watch it at your home, but there's something about the smell of popcorn and, you know, I heard you reacting and yelling at the theater. Bring that shit back, man. Yeah. Go to the theaters and support. I still go to the theaters every fucking Thursday night, opening nights, and watch these movies because it just you never know how long it'll last, man.
Yeah. Is there any truth to the rumor that you're involved in a Faces of Death remake?
Oh shit, yeah.
What's the story with that?
It's
what can you say?
I can say that
you can tell us everything. Trust me.
You're funny. I'm very excited. I remember seeing the original and that shit was wild, man. I remember like I was in the library, you know, like I used to like, you know, you pay for minutes at the library computer and I'd watch Face of the Death. I'm like, whoa, people dying. And the director, Daniel, we shot that in New Orleans. it was, I don't want to get too much away. We live in such a time where, like, you know, we aren't surprised anymore by movies. So, like, I want to keep a little bit kind of to myself. But I will say he murdered it. No pun intended.
Dude, any word of when it'll be out?
It was supposed to be at South By, but Daniel's such a perfectionist, and he's so good at his job. He wanted to do more work on it.
Yeah,
and they did some reshoots, and it's just going to get better and better from there. So, fingers crossed, it comes out hopefully this year. That'd be nice. That'd be nice to continue this movie run we're going on right now. We'll see.
And then next up, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, God, yeah, yo. I got to play y'all seen the original Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
Yeah.
So I got to play the creepy boyfriend and the coworker in the movie. And I got to do my own little thing with that. And that was great. My mom used to play that movie for us, and Babysitter's Club and all those 80s like comedies when I was younger. So to be a part of that was something else. But that one comes out, I think, on the same day as this one. So double feature, double date night, if you want. We shot that in L.A. We shot that in L.A. And there's some cameos in it you might enjoy if you like the original, too.
2024, man, the year of Jermaine, man. We are stoked. That's awesome. Well, you guys, we got one more question back there before we go.
Hey, what movie? Type Mads Mikkelsen is one of my favorites. He just seems like a fun dude to work with. I guess Mads is one of them. Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen. That's the dude. But Nicolas Cage is definitely, yeah, that'll happen one day. But Mads is I love what he's doing. I love everything he's doing. He's making some brilliant choices as far as the films he's been doing. They range from they're so vast, and I would like to do I know he did Riders of Justice. What hasn't he done though? Like that'd be his. Like, I have to follow his lead on that one. But I think with him, you know what? It would be cool to do some sort of like pure home invasion. Like, you're next with him. He's got this gear that kicks. Like, it just, every scene he just gets better and better and better, and he's so gripping. I think Mads doing something with him in that sort of space would be dope. As far as directors go, I think someone like I would love to see Quentin do like a pure. Has he done like a pure horror movie?
Not really. I mean, he's
Death Proof is the closest one, right?
He was in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh God, yeah, Dusk Till Dawn. But that was
that
Robert's
Tarantino kind
of. Yeah, the beginning of that movie is my favorite part of that movie.
Yeah,
I love the those aren't the Gecko Brothers, are they?
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
Yo! You gotta get a spinoff with George and Quentin. That'd be fire.
They did that TV series for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to see more of them on the big screen.
I would love that. But no, I think I'm loving the new voices as far as the horror space goes. I saw The Omen.
The first Omen. Omen. So good.
She did a wonderful job with that movie. It's so, so good. It's really, really good. And I don't get surprised too often in film, but I was very surprised with that one in a great way. So, answer the question. It'd be Mads and probably be like a home invasion movie.
Awesome, everybody. Well, thank you so much again for being at this advanced screening. Tell all your friends how good this is. Get everybody in to see it, all right? Thank you, Jermaine, man.
Thanks, y'all.
And that was your Boo Crew Podcast, episode 418. Special thanks to our guest, Jermaine Fowler, and special thanks to you for spending your time with us. At time of release, Sting is in theaters now. Production tracks for this one provided by the good folks at Power Man 5000. Till next time, for myself, Lauren, and Leo, my name is Trevor, and it's the Boo Crew saying, sweet screams.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Boo Crew Podcast. Haunt the Boo Crew at TalesFromTheBooCrew.com. Tales from the Boo Crew on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at TalesFromTheBoo. The Boo Crew is Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio. The Boo Crew is produced by Lauren Shand, chopped and sliced by Trevor Shand. The Boo Crew is a TSP creation, part of the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
Bye. A Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network, home of the
Boo Crew. For horror-centric interviews, SCP Archives, weekly full-cast storytelling, horror queers, genre commentary from an LGBTQ perspective, and creepy. For disturbing and terrifying creepypastas. Listen free wherever you stream audio and at bloodydisgusting.com/podcasts.